From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We begin today's broadcast with a testimony from Michelle, who writes from Missouri, and I was particularly touched by this testimony. She writes, "Mr. Hanegraaff, you do not know me, but you helped me so many times in my life. It was your broadcast I was listening to 12 years ago that finally opened my eyes to the error of my 20 years as an active Mormon. Praise God for you. I lost my oldest son in Afghanistan. He was a hero to his 8 siblings. I'm blessed to know the Lord and that he was saved too. Even then, it hurts so much. Yet I was listening to you after that, and you spoke about what happens to the spirit of the saved once they have passed on, and it comforted me. Know that you touched the lives of so many for the Lord. Thank you. And God bless you, Michelle." Here's a testimony about what I did. In reality, it is a testimony to what you did. And I'm talking to the collective you who stand with this ministry on an ongoing basis, prayerfully and financially. As a result, people come to faith in Christ. As a result, people come out of the kingdom of the cults and world religions. As a direct result, people are equipped to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. As a result, Christians are equipped with discernment skills. As a result, the kingdom of God is extended. And I want to remind all of you at the beginning of the broadcast today that that is precisely why I ask you to stand with this ministry. It's never easy. We seem to always be stretching against the financial limits. The expenses so often outrace the income. And so I remind you that you are part of a team changing lives for time and for eternity. Dare I say that were this the only life, it would be worthwhile. But there are many more. So once again, I ask you to join the support team. When you do, I would love to send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. You can order in 3 ways. One is via the mail. When you send your gift to Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can pick up the phone and talk to resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI, or you can join the support team on the web at equip.org/donate. Select support team, then fill out the online form and join a circle of friends making a difference for time and for eternity. Do so today. We need many of you to let us know you're standing with us prayerfully and financially. So make this a commitment today, whatever you can do. Some people can give $25 a month, some $50, some $100, some more. Whatever you can do, many people standing together do make a difference, not only for time, but as we see in the testimony from Michelle, for eternity. Want to go to our first phone caller up today, Michael, listening on the web in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Hank. I was talking to a friend of mine, and we got to talking about the two natures of Christ, and he was telling me that Christ had a spiritual, human spirit and a divine spirit. So I guess my question is, does Christ have two spirits or just one?
Well, remember that Jesus Christ was one person with two natures, fully man and fully God. What does it mean to be fully man? When a woman gives birth, she gives birth to a body-soul unity. Jesus Christ was fully man. We also recognize from Philippians that he was not divested of a single attribute of deity. So in the incarnation, while he took on the limitations of humanity, he was fully and completely divine. How that is communicated, I think, is most safely put in the Creed of Chalcedon or in some of the other biblical creeds, like the Creed of Athanasius. This is important in that the church fathers wanted to codify this in language that's consistent and also correct. There is a mysterious aspect to it, and therefore the language is important. We recognize even with the language, we don't fully comprehend it, but this is our apprehension of God's condescension to himself in the pages of Holy Writ.
Okay, so he would have one spirit, be one person, right?
He was fully God and fully man. One person with two natures. Fully God, fully man. That entails what it is to be fully man, and it entails what it is to be fully God. To try to distinguish centers of consciousness as though Christ may have had two or three different centers of consciousness makes no sense. I think we need to be very careful with the language, and therefore, once again, I refer you to the creeds that say one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, to be acknowledged in two natures, the distinction of natures being by no means taken away by the union, but rather the property of each nature being preserved, and concurring in one person, the one subsistence not parted or divided into two persons, but one and the same Son. I don't know that I can say it any better than that. And I think we're, therefore, from a historic Christian standpoint, we are well served to emulate the language of the creeds in communicating what it means that we have one God who reveals himself in three persons who are eternally distinct. And when we talk about the incarnation, we talk about one person with two natures, fully God, fully man.
Yeah, that would make sense of that scripture where he says, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. And he doesn't say spirits, plural, but spirit singular.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, thanks, man. Keep up the good work.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go right back to the phone lines, talk to Zeke. He's listening in Old Ridge, Nebraska. Hi, Zeke.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call, Hank.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I was wanting to know, in 1 John 5:16, it says, but there is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying you should pray for those who commit it. What is that sin, and why shouldn't we pray for people that commit that sin?
Yeah, in context, I think what is going on is you have a letter that is addressing Christians who are plagued by a Gnostic fallacy. And as a result of that, John is addressing a problem in a context. And so the sin that leads to death is always the same sin. It is the sin of continually, willfully, in an ongoing, premeditated fashion, denying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the incarnate, the in-flesh Son of God. So if anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray, and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is a sin that does not lead to death. The sin that does lead to death is an ongoing, continuous, willful rejection of the grace and love of God. Now, life in the context of this epistle is interesting as well. It's typically eternal life. So sin unto death would appear to be a sin leading from eternal life. And the sin that leads from eternal life is this conscious, willful, ongoing rejection.
All right. Thanks a lot, Hank. Appreciate your ministry and your time.
You got it. Thank you so much for your encouragement and, as always, for your call. We'll be right back with more of your questions.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's return to our callers. Next up is Chuck, listening in Cleveland, Mississippi. Hi, Chuck.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question is, the white horse in Revelation, in the verse that says, he that denies that Jesus Christ came in the flesh as the spirit of Antichrist, and somehow I know that they're connected and not necessarily applied like you see in movies as one guy who sets himself up as an Antichrist. So I guess my main question is that the Antichrist is not necessarily some guy that is set up and he's called the Antichrist.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, if you look at John's epistles, he exposes the identity of Antichrist when he writes, "Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also." And then in his second epistle, he gives the same warning. He says, "Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and Antichrist." Well, in the book of Revelation, what do you have? John there, same author, identifies both
an Antichrist.
Yeah, he identifies both an individual and an institution that represents the ultimate personification of evil.
So why are you saying individual?
Well, in John, he is identifying an individual. He says that with wisdom and understanding, you can identify the number of this individual and the number of his name. So this is a readily identifiable first century individual. But it is also true that in general, John is saying that Antichrist can be both an individual and an institution. A cult that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh can legitimately be called Antichrist. But again, the exact text that I'm referring to in Revelation says, "This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it's man's number. His number is 666. So he is there giving a number that identifies an individual as the archetypal Antichrist.
All right. You know, that makes sense. It just seems like it's been hyped up in Hollywood, and maybe that what we've seen is not an accurate portrayal of that ideology, I guess you could say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it has been hyped up, unfortunately, by Hollywood, but it's also been hyped up in pulpits throughout the land. I want to go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Deborah next, listening in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Bless you. Thank you so much for your program, and thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
I wonder, Hank, if you would comment on Genesis chapter 6, the story about the sons of God and the daughters of men. I was listening to Chuck Missler, and he brought out some points that sounded kind of convincing, and that the sons of God were angels, because the only place in Scripture where it's referred to is over in the book of Job, and about the angels having the ability to make themselves look like men, and he used the example of the men that came to Abraham. Just wondered if you could comment on that.
Well, it's nonsense. First of all, when you have the Lord and two angels appear on the plains of Mamre to Abraham, this is God who has creative power. He can take on human appearance, as can angels take on human appearance by the prerogative of God. God, again, has creative power. Fallen angels do not have creative power, and if they did, they not only could have, but most surely would have masqueraded as the resurrected Christ. So we would have no epistemic warrant whatsoever for the appearances of Jesus Christ. And Christ's argument, see, a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see that I have, would have been proven nonsensical, because his disciples would have said, come on, Jesus, get with it. Demons can masquerade in the flesh. So that's a bad argument. Even if this was really you, it's still a bad argument. Well, Jesus doesn't use bad arguments, and demons cannot take on physical form. And the whole notion that demons can have sex with women and propagate offspring is in concert with Greek mythology, not Christian theology. In Christian theology, each kind reproduces after its own kind. So you don't have demons having sex with women and bearing some muddy mixture between a demon and a woman or a demon and a human. This is sheer nonsense, and I have a hard time believing that Christians actually believe this or peddle this kind of stuff through Christian channels.
Well, then they refer to this Nephilim, I think it is, these giants supposedly that were created from this ungodly union, and that this is the explanation for the size of the Goliath that David came up against, and the I don't have my Bible in front of me now, but I know there's an account of a giant whose bed was so large and he had so many fingers and toes. So that has nothing to do with any of this.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with any of that. Certainly in context, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them, they were heroes of old, men of renown. So they are delineated. But to say that the sons of God have to be fallen angels because of the use in Job forgets a basic principle of biblical interpretation. Words are not univocal, they are equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. And in the context, what is the flood? It is judgment against humankind. It is not a judgment against hybrids. If, in fact, you have Chuck Missler being correct in this case, you know, you better watch out, because you could get pregnant by a demon too, because if they could have done it then, why couldn't they do it now? You could come home and say to your husband, I'm pregnant. It wasn't you, it was a demon. I mean, this is nonsense. Unfortunately, it's the kind of sensationalism that he's been peddling for years across Christian platforms. I remember him fueling fears of governmental conspiracies. People have a short memory, so he gets away with it over and over again. And what does he do? Well, he quotes really bad sources, sources like Spotlight, which was a periodical produced by quasi-Nazi Liberty Lobby. And it is widely known as a major source of rabidly anti-Semitic propaganda in America. It's factually unreliable. It's notorious for racist articles and advertisements. And yet, in a 1995 article citing Spotlight, Missler claimed that the presidential directive number 25 states that during times of national emergency, complete command and control of the U.S. military would pass from the President of the United States to the United Nations. Well, actually, Presidential Decision Directive number 25 says nothing about placing U.S. military personnel under complete command and control of the UN during a national emergency. But facts don't really matter. What really matters is the sensationalism. Selling sensationalism, sophistry, sloppy journalism, script torture, it's all part and parcel of the selling package. And unfortunately, this is why today Christians need discernment skills. If you don't have them, you are going to get caught in the trap of sensationalistic communications by people like Chuck Missler.
Okay, well, that that pretty much helps me out quite a bit. You know, he even brought the part about the when the Israelites went in to spy out the land and how they said that the inhabitants of that land were so large that they looked like grasshopper, and talking about the size of the fruit and everything else. So basically, it's all sensationalism. There were large people that dwelled in the land, I guess.
That's right. There were Nephilim in the land. They were identified in that way, but not as a result of demons having sex with women.
Ah, okay. Well, good. That explains it all for me. Thank you so much.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. And I apologize for my exasperation. From time to time, it simply gets to me. Religion is no excuse for being careless with the truth. I must confess, I share in full the general public's disgust with media preachers who have long since tired of preaching the unadulterated Christian gospel, and in its place has substituted a National Enquirer gospel of cheap sensationalism. And even a random sampling of secular talk shows in America confirms the fact that millions today write off Christianity as little more than a hoax. Their assumption is that Christians who willingly embrace this kind of sensationalism are just as prone to embrace mythology that is 2,000 years old. It's high time for Christians to learn and embrace with vigor and passion discernment skills. And that's what we do right here at the Christian Research Institute and during the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We're out of time for this edition. We'll see you tomorrow right here with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.